This is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 68 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. End of summer. And, well, not the end of the week, but it feels like it should be the end of the week. But
it sure not. Does.
It's only Wednesday. Yeah.
So we'll start with some Finnish Frog and Slog rolling stuff. So it's been a while since we recorded. So I have the July winners. Mm-hmm. Bindi J won Beyond Knit and Purl.
Yes.
By Kate Atherley.
Yes.
Which she should have in her possession now.
I hope so.
And our good friend Monica, who is Kirby Mo on Ravelry, won the Knit Fit class.
Cool.
So, and I believe she's taking a steeking class.
Mary Scott Huff?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
So that's awesome. Congratulations.
Congrats to all.
And then the August prize, which you will find out shortly because it's the end of the month. Is going to be a copy of Landing, and you can choose whether you want the digital copy or the hard copy, because the Fiber Gallery has hard copy, so I can get it really easily, or I can just send it to you through Ravelry digitally. So it is your choice. And then September, you have...
I was kind of going through my swag bag, and I have a set of, I don't remember the size, but I have a pair of Destiny circular needles from Lantern Moon, which are their beautiful ebony circular needles, as well as a shawl pin from Lantern Moon. So I thought I could give those as prizes.
For September.
For September, yes.
God, I can't believe it's September. I know. Already. It's like, ugh. So...
And you had some shout outs.
A couple of shout outs. So, I think, did you receive the pattern from Tracy?
I did, too? Yeah. Yes.
So, I just wanted to say thank you to Tracy from Two Knit Like Chicks, who gifted both myself and Jessica the Lefty pattern by Martina Bem, which uses like little scraps, and it's like, I think it's cream colored with like red and magenta or something. Yeah. Little. It's super
a sock
cute.
Scrap pattern, and you know how I love scrap patterns. Yeah, seriously. Thank you
so much.
Yeah,
it was
that
so
was a
nice.
Really nice, just out of the blue
pleasant
surprise.
Pleasant surprise, yeah. And then last time we recorded, I was working on the West Knits Mystery Shawl, and I ran out of both of my yarns. So I switched out one of the yarns with the cream color with just a black... or a dark brown, and then was knitting along with the gray, which was the Sincere Sheep, a Gleam, and the Niblina color, and I ran out of that too, and I'm really close to the end. So I contacted Brooke at Sincere Sheep, and she has been amazing and found like two like little skeins, which is far more than I need, and mailed those to me. That I got them day before yesterday, I think. And I just have to wind them and finish up the shawl. So, Brooke, if you're listening, thank you so much. She's super awesome. And I bought other yarn from her at Sock Summit. Mm-hmm. And I love her colors.
Yeah.
And she has some nice stuff. She has, like, a terroir series she's doing with, like, different territorial sheep breeds. Yeah. And
we're going to be getting some of her power silk blend.
Which is very pretty. I've been looking at it. And then I think she has a couple of different sock yarn bases, but one of them comes in 575 yard skeins.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, and there's one called Hot Pants that's like a hot, hot pink, mm-hmm. which I keep going and looking at. So that might be coming home to me. So I highly recommend her. She's great. She emailed me right away. And got like way more yarn than I needed, and she cut me a huge deal on it, and it was just awesome. So I emailed her today, and I was like, I'm gonna pimp you on my podcast.
Yes.
So go take a look at her shop. She's got some great
really
stuff.
Beautiful stuff.
So
yes. Am I doing,
you want to do
talk
go
about
first?
What I'm doing? Well, why don't we talk about we can talk about the cowl swap.
Oh, right.
So I think we mentioned it that Erin and Ariel organized a cowl swap at Pearly Girls. And do you know how many people did it all together?
Like 12 or 14.
Yeah, something like that. A good size. It was a blind swap for everyone except for Aaron and Ariel, who organized it. So they decided to knit for one another. Yes. But then they figured out who was going to knit for whom on the list. And so you knit...
I knit the Plucky Curacao cowl, which is like a free cowl pattern on Ravelry. It's got like cables on the edge and then some smocking in the center portion. Mm-hmm. So you knit it like a scarf and then you seam it at the end. And I knit that in Monost, the Uruguay, in the Maxima, which is kind of like Malabrigo. I talked about it last time, but I didn't say what pattern it was. Exactly. So
I was the...
I was the only person
who didn't finish in time. And it's absurd. I mean, I'm totally ashamed of myself. I mean, I started knitting my project immediately on July 7th.
You know, because you're like the first person to ask me what I thought about the pattern person match.
I know. And then I set it aside because I was doing the Olympic knitting.
Right.
And then after the Olympics, somehow I kept thinking, oh, well, that's not due until the end of August. And I just left it set aside and started working on other stuff.
And all of a sudden,
and then I looked up and was like, and everyone's, oh, that was it. Everyone at knitting was like, oh, we're going to do the swap on Monday night. And I, you know, and I don't take it to, none of us were taking our cows to knitting. It was like our secret knitting. So then it was like, oh, crud, I've only got a week. And I totally forgot that I was going out of town Saturday, Sunday. We went just for an overnight trip to Vancouver. And I get really car sick, so I can only knit the most basic things in the car. So there was no way I was going to be knitting, like, beads and lace in the
car.
Sorry,
that's my cat in the background. That's the cat. She's super chatty because Noah's walking around in here doing stuff. So whenever he comes in or out of the room, she vocalizes. So. Or sticks her head in the back.
Yes.
She was just doing
I have no good excuse. I mean, if I had been home over the weekend, I probably could have finished it, but it's ridiculous that it came down to needing those last 2 days when I had 2 months to knit the freaking cowl. So,
Well, the hilarious part to me was that your recipient, Regan,
yes,
was on Ravelry, and you said, what if we don't finish? And she said something about procrastination, like, is not an excuse.
Yeah, or like, there's no excuse for procrastination. Well, because she finished hers, like, ages ago. She showed me hers at the Knitters Guild, and I was like, you're done already? And she's like, well, I thought I'd just get it out of the way. And I was like, anyway, but so I knit for her a very old pattern by Janine LaCrosse called Willow. And it called for Kid Silk Haze. And I happened to... And Regan had said she wanted... she liked kind of warm neutrals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a skein in my stash that just, like, leapt out. That was a skein of Gossamer by Pico Accordi Dye Works that Stephanie Pico had just handed to me at a TNNA, like, years ago. Like, oh, here. Just... you know, handing out yarn, and it's dyed with coffee grounds. They do like natural dyeing, so it was dyed with coffee grounds. It's called Stumptown Brown, and
Stumptown coffee is good.
Yeah, and it's like this kind of caramel.
And you use gold beads, right?
Yeah, and it's like Kid Silk Haze. It's a mohair silk lace weight, and then it's beaded too. And so I got I think I got clear beads that had gold in the centers.
Gold foil.
Yeah, so they look kind of golden, and so I finally finished it last night. So I was 2 days.
You're gonna give it to her on Monday.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it next week on Monday. So I've got it blocking at home right now, but.
But it was really fun to swap with everybody.
It was so cool to see what everybody did, and everyone made such beautiful stuff.
A lot of purple, and then a lot of teal, and then you got a green one.
Yeah.
And then Regan had, you know, the kind of caramely colored one.
Yeah, Katie's Dancing Sheep totally pulled one over on me, because I unwrapped mine, and I looked at it, and I said, didn't I help you pick out this yarn? Because she'd come to the shop with some whole Shaggy Dog story about, oh, this other project she was working on, and it wasn't working out, and what did I think of this color? And so she knit for me the Casu, C-A-S-U cowl, which is a free pattern on Ravelry.
It's really pretty.
In the Lowland colorway of Tosh DK. And, uber bonus, it is a slip stitch pattern. Therefore, I love it, And I didn't have to knit it because God knows I never would have knit it. So that was wonderful. And then what the one
I got the Modish cowl by Stephen West, which like garter stitch, kind of like squares. It's kind of a graphic thing that's in two colors. She knit mine out of ultra alpaca. I think the pattern it was in my queue. She did it for my queue, which is awesome. The pattern's free. And I think he knits it in, like, Rowan Chunky or something like that. So it's, like, a bulky yarn. But she knit it in ultra alpaca, which is worsted. So she did some modifications and said she had just enough yarn to seam it up at the end. And I didn't have that much either. I had, like, 6 inches or a couple of feet, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I love it. And it was matching what I was wearing on Monday.
Yeah, we had... Awesome. So where we knit at the Blue Star, we have this whole room to ourselves, so we take all the tables and line them up into a big, long, like, banquet-style table. And we ended up with, like, everybody on your side of the table had, like, a blue cowl, mm-hmm. and everyone on our side of the table had a purple cowl, and then me with my green.
Yep.
Anyway, but yeah, it was super fun, and actually, I'll post the link that we did. Amy took pictures because one of our members couldn't be there because
she had surgery.
Yeah, she's recuperating from surgery. So she took pictures of everybody with their cowls, and then people posted their notes about the pattern they use and the yarn. It was great. It was really fun. I mean, we had, like, barely finished handing them out when we were like, what's the next one going to be? We were all, like, so excited. It was really, really fun to do, even though I was a total screw-up. And next time, I will be much better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so Ariel and I are going to see Snow White and the Huntsman at the Super Cheap Cinema.
It's still showing?
No, it's at the Crest.
It's still showing at the Crest,
even. It just got there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's $3, so we're going
to
see
I'm waiting for Magic Mike to get over there.
It is there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, because I really don't want to go see Magic Mike.
You have to check to see. Oh. You have to check to see if it's the last week or not. But it says on the website whether or not it's the last week. It's
playing. Sorry, a little bit of a tangent, but
so we're gonna talk about the next swap. I think Saturday when we go see the movie. So.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's so funny.
So you can go see Magic Mike, and I'll go see Snow White.
All right. Anyway, so why don't you go ahead and do your
a long intro?
Yeah, very long intro. So we'll be quick with the rest of it.
Oh, some of my hair just fell out, and I thought something was on my neck. Yeah. So last time we talked, I was working on those color block mitts that were the Pearl Bee free pattern that's written for Tosh Merino Light. So I finished those, and it hasn't been cool enough to wear them, but I finished them. And I also finished Sour Patch, which is that little girl's top down, short sleeve, cardigan.
Tunic.
Pullover tunic, which I made extra long because Andre's super tall. I finished that and put pictures up on Ravelry. And that's a free pattern too from Petite Pearls. And I finished Celestite, which had been kind of languishing. I just pulled it out and
Where did you finish it?
Over the weekend, but I had to block it.
Oh, okay. So I was like, you didn't bring that to me anymore.
No, I had to block. I finished it Sunday night when I was watching The Shining.
That's really funny. So that's you knit that in jam session,
yeah.
right? So it's a really simple top down.
It's an open front cardigan with kind of a wide
ribbed band.
Band that you can kind of fold back like it's like shaped with short rows, so you can fold it back like a shawl like collar, a shawl. But it's a small shawl collar.
And it's by Cecily, and
it's sock yarn on a size 5. So,
and used Hazelknit's artisan sock in jam session.
Right.
And you had it at knitting last week.
Yep.
And you were knitting that, and Monica was knitting a cowl in jam session, and Jody was knitting a shawl in jam session.
Hold on, shawlette, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like
it's the like official color du jour. Yeah. Which and is then, like what the half the cowls were.
Yeah, and then people got them for the knit along for the swap. I mean,
yeah. So I finished that, and I really like it. I added an inch to the body. I think that's all the modifications I made. Any other notes are on my project page, but I think that's pretty much it. But I have like 200 yards left.
Oh.
The pattern for my size calls for 1,000, but because I made it longer, and then I had to pick up more stitches. So I had to adjust where I started the short rows, which is like 8 rows is an inch. So I just moved it up from 72 stitches where you start the short rows. to 80. I think that's it.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm putting a button band on, or a button on it or not.
Because it's a single button closure with a loop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'm just going to wait and see after I get it blocked how it goes.
Feel like it.
Yeah. But I love it. I would have worn it on Monday, but I had to be washed because it was walling around all over my house.
Yeah.
And then I finished a plain pair of stockinette socks, which is my zombie socks. And it's in Out of Step Dye Works. And it's a self-striping MCN blend. And it's stripes of red with stripes of this kind of grayish green flecked with red. So it's like zombie flesh and blood stripes. And yeah. I was knitting that at work on my break and on my lunch break, and people were like, oh, Christmas socks? I'm like, no, zombie socks.
Zombie Christmas, yay!
So I finished those, and I have like a quarter of the skein left. So I don't know. Maybe Audrey will get little zombie girl socks.
Little zombie socks.
Zombie girl.
Although the stripes will be so long on her, you know, that little circumference, it'll be like big chunk of red, big chunk of green.
Yeah. I don't know, her feet are like really small, or really big for her age, So that's my finished stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to pull out my mystery shawl after I wind that yarn that Brooke sent me and finish that up. So I'm going to try and finish that up over the weekend. And then I've been working kind of sporadically on the Signs of Spring Cowl, which is a free pattern. It's one of those like, you wrap the yarn twice around the needle before you knit, and then you drop them on the next row, and then you slip four stitch, and then you slip eight stitches, and then you cross the stitches and then knit them to make like a crosshatch cross-stitch thing. So it's kind of a pain.
Slow and annoying to knit.
But I'm like more than halfway there now, so I've just been working on that mainly now that I've finished the sweater and the socks. So, it's getting there. It's living in my bag, so that's what I work on at work now. I got the first outer shell of the squirrel sampler mittens. So I have the outside of one done, because you pick up and you do a lining on the inside. So, and I want to use some crazy bright color for that, because I'm using light blue, like a powder blue and a brown. So I want something, like, crazy on the inside. So the first one of those done. And right now I am working on the Gramps cardigan out of Tosh DK. It's a Kate Oates pattern with like cables on it in a shawl collar. Because there is yet another baby that's about to happen at work.
Oh my.
Those people.
So this is Tosh DK and...
The twig color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty.
So I'm trying to finish up my whips within the next few days. That's not going to happen, because I want to do single skein September and use it to get my holiday knitting out of the way, because I've decided that I'm going to do small projects for people out of some single skeins I have and on some single or small amount skeins that I purchased recently.
I should do that and work through my bag of crap.
Yeah. So that's my plan for September. I'm out, because I don't go back to school until the 24th is my first day.
Okay.
So I think it's a good way to like get stuff out of the way before the holidays. I'll just put it away until December.
I just have to
say. And
then
I'll be done with school.
My oldest son has his first orientation day of high school tomorrow. High school. Okay.
He'll be even more morose.
Yeah, crotchety. He's been pretty good, but all right.
When did they actually start, though, I remember?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Actually, I think it's the younger one that's going to be the real problem. Because for my older son, the beginning of middle school was really, really hard for him. And I think my younger son is about to have a rude awakening. So
we'll see how that goes. I hated middle school, so.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a fan of it either. Okay, so my project. So I finished my Angostura in time for Knitting Olympics. I really like it. I couldn't find my tripod, and I asked my older son to take my picture in it, and he looked at me, and this is a direct quote, sweater vest. Ugh. So I guess sweater vests are not cool, in case anyone's wondering. That's the opinion of the 14-year-old. But I like it, so forget him. So that's an Isolde pattern from Little Red in the City, and I admit Miss Bibbs, it Yowza. In Miss Babs, Yowza, and Catherine. And then as soon as I was done with that, I was like, now I can finish my narwhal mittens. Yay! So I feverishly knit the rest of my narwhal mittens, because I had like an inch left to go on the, and then the thumbs to mm-hmm. go before the Olympics started. So I knit them, and then I'm, you know, blocking them. And as I'm blocking, and I've been reading someone on Ravelry too who said the exact same thing, that blocking them out, and it's like, huh, these aren't blocking to the same length. Tug, 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 tug. And then I stepped back and looked at them and, damn it! Ah! I left off one of the charts right above the cuff. Or right between the, anyway. I left off one of the charts. Ah! But it's in an area where it's like, it was interesting because all the people on my blog who were, when I was talking about coming up with all these ideas for Kriya about like mm-hmm. cutting it, were like, don't cut it, what? For this one, they were all like, oh, go ahead and cut it.
Yeah.
So, they were like, oh yeah, just snip it and then knit the part and then, you know, graft it back together. Because yeah. it's, you know, within the solid, I can put the solid rows back together. So, I haven't done that yet. They're sitting, because I set them aside because I needed to knit my cowl, which I did. And then, well, the other thing I, so these are the things, like, as soon as I finished the Olympic knitting, I went back to the narwhals and I was like, oh, eh, yuck. And then I started knitting my gnarled oak again, and I did what we had talked about where I just cast, provisionally cast on the full sleeve mm-hmm. stitches. And then I joined those to the yoke, and I started knitting the yoke. So I just got to the part where I was starting the cable, the oak leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was part of me that was like, I really wanted to get to that and mm-hmm. see how I was doing with the yarn. And that, and then I kept thinking, oh, I should be knitting my cowl. But, oh, I'm almost at it. Right. And then, so then when I realized I was in trouble with the cowl, I put that down. So that's sitting there mostly done. I mean, not the sleeves, but the yoke is well underway. And then I've been bringing to knitting in order to force myself to work on it, the large lace collar tam, which is the Bohus kit I got, right. For the knit along for the Knitters Guild. It's beautiful, but it is a drag to knit. Almost every row is three colors and they all are knit and purl. It is slow knitting and, like, I get in a bad mood when I knit it. I'm just like, ugh.
It's because you've been bringing that to knitting.
Yeah, and I've been bringing it to knitting, so then I'm like, oh, and I have to wear my reading glasses, which makes me feel about 8,000 years old. Otherwise, I can't see what I'm doing, and then...
The light in there is bad anyways.
So. Yeah, and the light in there is bad, and I can't tell the colors apart, blah, blah, blah. So, pooey. But I'm working on it, and what I've got done is pretty, but I still... And everyone's like, no, you know, look, you've done a lot. It's like... I'm on row 19, and it's a 69-row chart. So I've still got a long way to go. Fortunately, that knit-along doesn't end until the end of November. So, but you know I'm going to do the same freaking thing I did with the cowl. That, you know, it's going to be...
Something else is more shiny.
Not the end of November. What am I saying? It's the beginning of November. Uh-oh. First week of November.
Uh-oh.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I'm just going to get myself in trouble, I'm sure. But so, I needed something to knit in the car when we went to Vancouver, and so I pulled something out of my bag of single skein projects that mm-hmm. I've set aside, and it was a skein of Noro Sahara, which they discontinued
a million years ago.
Discontinued, I think, before I started knitting. I found it at this yarn shop that had really, really old stock, and it is a cashmere angora wool something bulky in a natural white, but in only like 44 yards. So I found this pattern on Ravelry called, I mean, it's barely a pattern, it's called the Mochi Neck Cozy, and it's basically like a little piece of ribbing that you knit to make into a cowl, so that you know so the ribs go vertically, so you cast on like 62 stitches and do 2x2 ribbing and put some buttonholes in. I ran out of yarn, but you know, whatever. So mine's not the same, the buttonhole spacing isn't the same on mine. But that took me like the first hour of the car trip to knit. And then I pulled out another project I brought with me to knit in the car, which was Hepburn, which is a little kind of blousey vest top from a Rowan from maybe like 3-4 years ago. And I don't remember which number it is. I want to say it's like Rowan 44, something like that. I could be completely making that number up. But it's the series that were all the projects are named after movie stars. Mm-hmm. And I knit Lemoore from it a couple years ago.
The leaf pattern one.
Yeah. So this is just this very blousey vest with the deep ribbing at the bottom. And then it has a tie at the neck.
Is that it right
and
there?
Then, yeah. And there's a diamond pattern in the yoke that's supposed to be beaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on the fence whether I'm going to do that or not. But the reason I'm doing it, though, I mean, I had planned on doing it, and I'd gotten some yarn for it. But then Amy Quixotic Pixels from Pearly Girls sent me an email a little while ago. She was going through her stash, and she's like, I've got this bag of 7 skeins of Rowan 4-ply soft in the sage green that looks terrible on me, and I know you love this color.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like it? And I was like, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly the yarn that's called for, the not the color, but the type of yarn and the quantity that the
just
pattern
funny,
calls
Lemoore
for.
Is also green.
And this one's it's green. Not funny, it's just me. Everything I knit is green. What? Actually, my last 2 sweaters were both red, so I was really, really going out on a crazy tangent there. Like, really red. Both very red. So I still don't know if I want to do the beads. The pattern asks you to pre-string the beads, which is ridiculous. So I'm definitely not going to do that. But then, do I really want to do the whole crochet hook on, like, hundreds and hundreds of beads to make this pattern? And I was thinking, oh, I could just do it with purl stitches. But I keep looking at the ones on Ravelry, and the ones with beads are so much prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And I would only do the beads on the front, because you wouldn't want to, like, lean back in your car seat and have, you know, beads on the your back. And it's only the upper portion, like the upper, the yoke of the, on the front. So I think I'm just going to wait and see how I feel when I get there. I'm just working on the back now, so I'm going to make that plain. But this is just ribbing. But even this, after a while, I couldn't knit in the car because on the way home, you know, it gets dark earlier now, and we're in the car, and it was, like, pitch black, and I'm trying to go by feel. But this is a, you know, a 4-ply yarn on a, I don't know, I think I'm on, like, a 2.75-millimeter needle.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, I could feel that I'd gotten off pattern, but I couldn't see it, and I didn't want to turn the light on in the car while Wes is driving. Anyway, so I've only got a, you know, maybe 2 inches of ribbing so far. But I love 4-ply soft, and it made me go and dig out the Georgie that I'd knit, which is a free pattern that you can get from an old Rowan magazine that I knit in 4-ply soft several years ago. And I get so many compliments on that. Actually, the best compliment I got on that sweater was that I wore it to work, and Kathy looked at it and looked at me and said, is that a store-bought sweater or a hand-knit one?
Oh.
And I was like, damn, if Kathy thinks I'm wearing a store-bought sweater. And it's just a really simple vintagey style, you know, just classic cabled cardigan where it's a fine yarn, a simple cable, repeated endlessly, slim fit, and I love that sweater. But it made me remember how much I love this yarn, so which is sadly discontinued. So I was very happy to get that from Amy. That's a very long way of saying I'm knitting this best. And that's everything I'm working on right now.
Sweet.
You reading any books?
Yeah, I am. Hold on, I'm crossing
here, I'll tell you what. I haven't been reading anything, but for the car trip, we got the audiobook from Audible of Bossy Pants, the Tina Fey, and we only got to listen to about 2 hours of it before the boys were begging us.
Because it was a sleepaway camp thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so Tina Fey, it turns out, was born, she and I, our birthdays are like less than a month apart. So all of her cultural touchstones are exactly the same as mine. So she makes a passing reference to the movie Sleepaway Camp, in which the killer is a little girl with a penis. And I was just falling out laughing, and Wes is looking at me like I've lost my mind, and he's keeps going, what does that mean? What are you talking about? And I'm like, don't you remember the movie? And there's a, no, and he...
Sleepaway Camp is awesome.
Oh my gosh, but it reminded me of all those really crappy schlocky horror movies I used to watch in the 80s, even though I hated horror movies then too. It's like, why was I watching those?
Well, some of them, there's not really that much horror stuff. There's just
these
like...
These are pretty gross movies.
Like, well, Sleepaway Camp, I don't remember it being that...
I'm sure, but your idea of a gross horror movie and mine are a little different, but... anyway, but it's very funny, but I only got to listen to like the first 2 hours of it because the kids were like, can we listen to music instead? Because they didn't think like the first chapter's on like menstruation, so they kind of lost them.
Gross.
Well, her references come so fast and furious that, and they don't know any of the stuff she's talking about.
Right.
And I think the more I'm laughing at it, the more she's just wondering, they're wondering, like, what the hell's so funny about that? So, yeah. Reading.
Yeah, I finished reading My Cousin Rachel by Daphne du Maurier.
Ooh.
Which is, like, similar in style to Rebecca, so it's slightly gothic. The premise is that there's this young man, Philip, who lives on an estate with his uncle because his family has died.
Of course.
And his every year, his uncle goes away to summer in Italy for health reasons, or winter in Italy for health reasons. And while one summer he's away, he decides not to come back. He ends up getting married to this woman named Rachel, who's like half English by birth.
Or is she?
No, she is, really.
Oh, okay.
But he also, and the uncle also ends up dying under mysterious circumstances. So he goes there to try and find her, and she's already left the villa. And then he meets with her shady lawyer, and then ends up going
back
to...
Sounds like when my dad died. You're laughing. I'm serious. Okay.
He ends up going back to... England, to the estate, and kind of figuring out the will and everything. So the whole estate is left to him with no provision for the widow. And then she ends up showing up, and he's like, invites her over, and of course he starts to fall for her, and she has this extended stay, and then he finds some letters that were written kind of blaming Rachel for that the uncle had written to Philip, finding about like the mysterious circumstances that he was suffering under. So there's also a history of like some kind of brain illness. So you don't really know if it's like he made it up. He was the uncle made up this idea that Rachel was poisoning him, though there were poisonous plants, and she's really into gardening. So it's, like, all in that kind of, like, you don't really know what's going on type gothic horror mystery thing. So I liked it.
Yeah.
I've read a bunch of her stuff. I've read Rebecca, which was, like, the first Hitchcock I ever saw, I believe. Yes. And then I read the book, and I read House on the Strand and Rule Britannia. I think I've read I, Julius.
I think I've only ever read Rebecca, but I loved it.
Yeah. House on the Strand and Rule Britannia are sci-fi. Like, House on the Strand is kind of time travel, and Rule Britannia is alternate history. So the Nazis end up winning, and it takes place. And it's got a horrible ending, but it's very well written. So I really like her stuff, and I think... A lot of people just think of Rebecca, and it's like...
Well, I know before, I think we've discussed this before, but, like, when I read Rebecca for... I read it for a book group, and we all thought we knew what Rebecca, you know, that it was going to be this, like, overwrought thing. But it's so good.
It is
so
really
gripping
good.
And so well written, and...
Because if you just, like... Usually the covers on that are, like, this gold script.
Right,
so it just
exactly.
All kind of... In the... Plot summary on the back usually makes it seem
sound
like it's
like
some
a
kind
Harlequin
of
romance.
Exactly, but yeah. it is not. It's
nothing
a,
at all like
a
that.
Mystery. Well, yeah. Cool. So, and then I started the second book in the Newsflesh trilogy.
Oh yeah.
By Mira Grant, which is called Deadline. I finished the first one. I was really close to finishing the first one last time I recorded.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of been languishing because I've been trying to get all the stuff off my needles. And it's like a hard, it's a real book, not a, like an ebook or something that I can read and knit at the same time. But that's it.
Cool.
And I don't know how much reading I'll have for school because it's communications. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I might actually get to do reading for fun this quarter.
So I was trying to think of movies I've watched since the last time we recorded, and I haven't been to the theater, and the only things I could think of, and this is so lame.
I bet I could top it.
Okay.
Go.
Well, I watched Captain America, because I saw that it was on Netflix.
Okay.
And I hadn't seen it yet, and I actually kind of like it.
Noah liked it, too.
It's,
and he was watching it when I came home from knitting. You know,
it's about as light as it can get, but done stylishly and with a sense of humor, and I actually liked it. And then I just watched Thor the other night because that's on Netflix now too. And it's, you know, it's really stupid. Actually, Wes and I started kind of Mystery Science Theatering it while we were, because I was watching on my computer and he was sitting at the table behind me, so he started kind of adding his own sound effects and stuff. But you know, I think I said this after the Avengers too. I think Thor is kind of a boring character. You know, you've got this like immortal god, and you know exactly how it's all going to play out before it even happens. So, a little dopey, but moves really quickly. And I swear it felt like it was about 80 minutes long. It just like, okay, and we're done. It kind of felt more like ticking that box. Like, we got to introduce Thor because we're making this Avengers movie, so let's hurry along.
Right.
Captain America is actually, like, a much more substantial film. It runs almost 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Because there's a, you know, it's kind of a complex story because they, or not a complex story. Let me rephrase that. It's not a complex story. But it's nice the way they've made it because they took time really introducing you to the character of whatever his name is, Steve Rogers, before he becomes
Captain America.
What's his face? They really take their time letting you get to know him, but not remembering his name. before he becomes Captain America, because once he becomes Captain America, he's kind of silly. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think he's an interesting, I mean, he was one of the more interesting characters for me in Avengers, too, because in his own film, he's kind of a, out of, you know, he's this guy who spent his whole life sort of this 98-pound weakling, and then suddenly he's this, like, unstoppable superhero who's going to, like, single-handedly win the war for America. And he definitely recognizes the irony in his own situation, and he doesn't quite know how to even understand himself. And then he gets frozen in, like, you know, on the North Pole or something for 80 years or not 80 years. I'm telling my chronology. 70 years? Anyway. And they, like, kind of find him and thaw him out, like, just before the Avengers, basically. And so he's, in the Avengers, he's this man out of time. Like, he's missed this whole, you know, to him, it's still World War II.
Right.
He doesn't understand the way people behave. He doesn't understand anyone's cultural references.
What are these cell phones? What do they do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, and way beyond that, too. But, you know, just even his mindset in terms of, like, manners and things like that.
Right.
So he's actually kind of a bit more interesting because he's, I guess he's more, he examines things more. He examines himself more. He's more thoughtful, not just kind of walking through and like bash, you know. Like,
you are bad.
Yeah,
I
like
will
the Hulk or Thor or, you know,
yeah,
like, let me just knock everything over as I walk through a room. He's definitely a little more mindful. So, anyway. But they're both on Watch Instant, so if you're feeling so inclined. Oh, and up all 4 seasons of Parks and Recreation, I just saw them.
Ooh,
I'm watching it, and my kids have watched it now, and they really like it, which makes me feel very proud.
I've just been kind of watching it really slowly when I have, like, 20 minutes before I want to, like, oh, yeah.
Now, every time we go to a restaurant, they're always like, I would like the Turf and Turf. It is a 24-ounce porterhouse steak with a 12-ounce T-bone. Or bring me all your bacon and eggs. That's their other favorite Ron Swansonism.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
Oh, so what I can you top see, you?
Yes, tell me what you've been watching that's lamer than Thor.
So Amazon has their player now.
Yeah, which
and
I
if you have Prime, you can watch a bunch of stuff free.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, season 1.
You win. You're lame.
He's like, oh my god, this is so bad, but I can't stop watching. I burned through season one in like a week or something.
Oh man.
It's pretty bad.
Wow.
That came out in 93.
That's so. Pretty, wow.
Pretty bad.
That's, you win.
Yay. You I don't win anything for
no,
that.
No, you don't win anything for that.
But they also have Downton Abbey, season two.
Oh, okay.
On there. So I watched the British versions, which I guess they have like different stuff or different scenes, apparently.
Really?
I don't know. I didn't see the American season two, so I don't know. But they have two sets. There's the British one and the American one. Uh-huh. So I don't know if they're slightly longer or what.
I don't know.
But that was good, although there were some plot devices I could have done without.
Yeah, it's getting a... It's like you can see the writing on the wall. It could turn a little too soapy.
Yeah.
As we get into the third season, which is going to be coming out in the UK, like, shortly, I think. Well, right after the holidays.
So I watched that. I went over to Monica's, and we had Army of Darkness Sangria Night. So she was like, she liked it a lot. Yeah. It has, like, the best one-liners in it.
Yeah.
That's just pillow talk, baby. Like, give me some sugar, baby. I said the syllables, basically. Like, it's just so good. And it's funny. It's super campy.
Actually, I thought of you because I just read a news or saw the headline for a news story yesterday that there's someone trying to make an unauthorized sequel to Evil Dead, and Sam Raimi's been like suing them basically to prevent them from doing that.
To Army of Darkness or to Evil Dead?
Well,
because Army of Darkness is the sequel to Evil Dead.
Yeah, I mean, to the Evil Dead series, I guess I would say.
Why would you want to ruin that? It's so good by itself.
I don't know. People.
Yeah. I watched Tabloid, which you had watched a while ago, and I had the same issues with it that you did. Like, I just think that lady's crazy, but there's glaring holes in the people who were represented.
Yeah.
Or not represented. Yeah. Like, the guy himself or anyone speaking for the Mormon Church in a positive way.
Right.
I like to have balance in my documentaries like that.
But it is crazy the way, I mean, the twist you get at the end of
she comes
of how
back
she ends
into
up
it.
In the tabloids the second time, you know, the second or third or fourth or fifth time, whatever.
Cloning her dog.
Is crazy, so.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's pretty nuts.
I watched Marwyn Call, which... Rebecca Talking Crowhead recommended to me, which is on Watch Instantly. It's a documentary about this man who is therapy for getting the shit kicked out of him and having brain damage. He can't afford therapy. So what he does is he creates this small like action figure village in his backyard that's set during World War II, and he's the main player in it. So he, like, works out his issues.
And Marwyn calls, like, the imaginary place, isn't it?
Yes, it's in Germany, and it's a town. So he uses, like, Barbies and, like, action figures, and he builds all the stuff, and that's how he got his manual dexterity back from having this horrible thing happen to him. And he begins taking, like, photographs, like, up-close still photographs of... the town and the action figures like in the Jeep or doing different things or in different scenes. It's this very involved story that he's created to help him as a creative outlet and also as a therapy device. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really interesting. Yeah. And it's really well done and
I've been meaning to see that. I've had that in my queue for a long time.
Yeah, it kind of culminates in a gallery show in New York.
Right.
Of his photography. So, and there's a twist in there, but I'm not going to say what it is. But it's like maybe an hour and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it a lot. So, I like kind of weird, obviously, I like quirky things like
quirky
that.
Quirky documentaries.
Yes, I do. I think that's it.
That's it. All
Dr.
right.
Dr. Quinn totally topped that list.
Nah.
So bad. I know it's so bad.
And
I keep checking
Dawson's
to see if they're going to add more seasons.
Oh, they only have season one. Oh yeah, you can't give that away for free. You gotta hold back on the
on the Sully and Dr. Quinn action. God,
I have never seen an episode of that show.
Every episode,
it's like that, and like
there's an angry mom. There's an angry mom of some sort in every episode.
Well, they liked their moms angry back then.
Oh yeah. Sure did.
Actually, I started watching Meek's, speaking of back then, I started watching Meek's Cut Off the other night, but I think Wes must have been out when I started and then he came home, and it's just not the sort of movie to watch with someone like milling around in the background and talking to you.
Super quiet.
so still and dark. Well,
so you're saying something about horror movies, and I do love horror movies, and I like a lot of different kinds of horror movies, but what I was thinking about the other night was that my favorite horror movies are kind of quiet horror movies, which is not, and good, which both of those things don't normally happen.
Yeah.
I'm not into, like, Saw and all that BS. No. But, like, 28 Days Later, it's pretty quiet for a lot of it, and then it's got these kind of loud moments.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably that one. And The Shining, which I was watching the other night when I was sitting in my sweater.
I still also never watched all that. I'm scared.
A lot of it's really, really quiet, and there's just,
or like the right one in.
Yeah.
It's a very atmospheric kind of horror movie.
That's what I like. There's also a horror movie called Lake Mungo, which is an Australian horror movie that's done documentary style. I feel like that's overused these days. Yeah. But it's really, really
found footage horror movie.
And it's about this family, their daughter drowns, and then the weird stuff starts happening in their house, and they find out all the stuff that they didn't know about her. And they think she's, like, haunting the house. But it's really good. Also very, very quiet. And done well for that kind of thing. So
that's cool.
Yeah. I think about horror movies a lot.
You do
think about
horror
movies. Why do I like them?
I don't know.
I'm a freak.
I do. You really do. Well, I think about them a lot and think, why do I get so freaked out by them when I know they're not
real. It's not real. Because I prefer that to, like, people in real life being horrible to each other.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
I would go to that, like, violence porn stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah. God, no. I can't deal with that at all. But, yeah, I don't know. I've just never been able to handle certain kinds of... And I think... Well, I think I saw a lot of horror stuff, maybe, like, in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
And ones that, like, really freaked me out. Like, things that, like, I can still barely not think about. Like, the movie Parents.
Oh, yeah. That's
upset
watch
me
instantly.
So much. Because there's certain types of violence that just really, really, really freak me out. And I don't know. It's like I have some sort of armchair... self-psychoanalysis where I wonder, I was attacked by our family dog when I was a toddler and had to have surgery to repair it when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I always somehow, like, I always link up my phobias or my irrational fear of, like, seeing scary stuff like blood and, like,
maybe it's not irrational.
Yeah,
though.
I don't know. I just have a real, like, there's certain types of things, like, I cannot deal with any kind of, like, knifey violence. Like, I can watch movies where people shoot each other up all the time. Like, you know, I can watch all the Scorsese films except Gangs of New York, where suddenly everyone's, like, cutting each other up with knives.
Yeah.
And it's like, please, just not
it's
knives.
Like 80s style gang fights where people have their wrists tied together.
Oh, ugh. I just can't do it. I don't know. That's my. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So now you know a little bit about my phobias, so don't come at me with a knife, please.
She'll freak the shit out.
All right. Oh, goodness. All right.
We'll record again before I go back to school, for sure. So,
we will.
And I will post winners for a winner for the landing prize in a few days, because it's actually the end of July.
Yes, and post your finish frog and slog progress on the double knit board on Ravelry, and show notes will be at doubleknit.net.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.